Well, good morning again. It's always good to be here. It's always good to see you. And you remain on our prayer list every night. We mention Curtis Gospel Chapel. And we want you to turn, if you will, to Matthew. And we're going to look at what I consider to be something that's not spoken of often as it needs to be, and that is children. You know, children have a habit of growing up remembering those who were kind to them when they were small. Trust me, they do. They remember. And I tell you, what turned my heart around, I mean, the Lord speaks to it even now through that one experience. We had a rescue mission right in the heart of the inner city, Mount Elliot, MacDougall and Gratiot, called the Open Door Rescue Mission. It was there forever. It just recently closed. But this gentleman from at that time, Detroit Bible College, I was interested in working with children, and my mother indicated to me, say, you want to see Wesley Lamp? He is the best flannelgraph artist and children's worker that I know. In fact, he helped train my mother, and she was very good. And I said, really? I said, what color is he? Because I had a suspicion he was white. She said, well, he's white. I said, well, tell me, and where is he working at? His mission is down at the Open Door Rescue Mission. I said, I can't believe this. And I said, in that neighborhood? She said, yes. And not only that, but he stays there. I said, no, don't tell me that. Because you see, for staff, if you're working through the mission, you stay free. He paid his fare. He was an engineer by trade, and he worked the summers at the mission and worked the fall and the winters as an engineer. Graduated from Detroit Bible College, went on to Wayne or whatever. I said, I've got to see this guy because I've never heard of anything like this. Never. Well, I got to meet him. And now this is, we're talking about early 60s. And he, I said, told him who sent me. I said, my mother. He said, oh, Mrs. Strong. He said, oh, yeah, I know her. And I said, I tell you what, I'm not here to do anything but observe to watch. He said, okay. And so he was doing everything. He was setting up the flannelgraph, holding up the flannelgraph, teaching off the flannelgraph. But what amazed me was this, how he got children together. He didn't pass out any flyers. He didn't go from door to door. He would see a bunch of children and kids just hanging out, and he would sound off. If anybody's interested in being part of a Boys and Girls Club, he didn't say Bible. He left that out. He was very smart. Anybody want to be part of a Boys and Girls Club? Come to me. And then I guess some of those kids, black kids, said, let me come and see what this fool is talking about. They just came out of curiosity. And man, next thing I knew, he had the whole neighborhood surrounded. And he was giving the flannelgraph lesson. And so I could see he was having a challenge doing everything himself. So I asked him, I say, now, I can help you hold up the flannelgraph, you know, the easel and that type of thing. I said, but don't ask me to say anything. He said, okay, I will. And it took off from there. And then I noticed one time that there was an ice cream truck. You know, the ice cream truck, they're going to always find children. And the next thing I said, oh, boy, that's blown the whole lesson. He was right in the middle of it. Here comes the ice cream truck. Ding, ling, 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 ling. He was so wise. He was so smart. He said, boys and girls, it's time to take an ice cream break. It's on me. And, man, they flew to that truck. And I tell you, I said, interesting. And they came back, and they were eating ice cream and what have you. And he started up the lesson again. And then there was one little fellow in the middle, right in front of the flannelgraph. He was eating his ice cream, and his nose was running. Steve, you gotta believe this. His nose was running. And he said, they called him Mr. Lamp. He said, Mr. Lamp, he said, would you like to have some ice cream? Those running out of ice cream. And I looked at him, and I looked at the kid with the ice cream, and I said, better him than me. And without a hesitation, without reservation, he started licking that ice cream with that kid. And the Lord said to me right then and there, you see, I can use him where I can't use you, even among black people. I got the message, Lord. I got the message. And I'm telling you, I have never seen someone that was so gifted in cross-cultural evangelism, cross-race. Didn't make any difference who you were, where you were, but especially children. It seemed like they just gravitated to him. That had to be a gift, had to be. And he knew exactly how to switch gears if something would happen and wouldn't miss a beat. Well, we thank the Lord for that. But that brings me to my lesson on children. In chapter 18, Matthew. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, the kingdom of heaven is only used in Matthew because he presents the kingdom of heaven to the Jews. But here the Lord takes a break from the narrative in that vein. Verse 2, they ask a question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now get that. And I want you to get this, because nobody in Scripture ever set in the midst of an audience with the Lord Jesus. Nobody preempted him, because Colossians is very plain that in all things he should have the preeminence. And whoever is in the middle has the preeminence. He called a little child and set him in the midst of them. Get that. Now, I had childhood evangelism and early childhood development at William Tyndale. And I'll tell you this, I know what a little child isn't, he's just between a baby. He's about a toddler, I would say. You know, toddlers, they walk like, you know, Frankenstein. They just start walking. But notice what he did. He called a little child. He's called you. And you're not a little child. What's your problem? But he called, and we need to get this, but we pass over it too many times, as we pass over children too many times. Jesus called a little child unto him, and he came, obviously, and he took him and set him in the midst of them. They wanted to know who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He called a little child unto him. Now, we're going to get into some interesting things here. Stay with me. Verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. Get that. Now, seven times in this text, he's going to use little children or little ones. And seven is the number of completion, which indicates to me that we're dealing with a little believer here. Now, understand this about babies when they die. They're not so much saved as they are safe, because they never reach the age of accountability. I was called by a funeral director in the city. I was still in the police department. We got to know each other. And this was a homicide where the father took the six-month-old baby and bashed his head in. Killed him. And he wanted to know if I'd take the funeral. I said, I certainly will. That's an easy one. And I said to the audience, I said, I don't have a problem with where he is. I have no problems with where he is. I have a problem where you are. Where you are. I say, this one is safe. He never came to the age of accountability to know right from wrong. He didn't know his left hand from his right. I say, but what about you? What's your problem? I say, could it be that the Lord is speaking through him today, through you, to me, through you, to you? Could it be that? I think so. He called a little child unto him. That child came, without any hesitations, reservation, and set him in the midst of them, and said, except you be converted and become as little children, You shall not enter into the kingdom. Nobody enters any other way. You have to come with the same childlike faith as a little child, a little toddler, only trusting the Lord. When I was downtown working, I had just left the school. I became the school officer to about 20 schools in the city, doing, you know, magic tricks and ventriloquists and that type of thing. And I just left the school. And it was a little guy that came to his wife. His mother dropped him off for his dad to take him home because she had to go to work. She dropped him off just at the end of the school day. Little guy. And wouldn't you know it, as the two of them were walking along Cass Avenue, a guy snatched the lady's purse. And the father, and he ran across the street, Cass, and the father took off after him. Bad mistake. Because the little boy took off after following his father and was hit by a car, killed right in front of his dad. Oh, horrific. That was a tough one. I had just left the school, indicating, telling the kids, listen now, you don't cross mid-walk, you don't run after anybody. All those things are covered. But his father acted instantaneously, saw this poor woman losing the purse, took off after the perpetrator, and the son took off after his father, but his father looked and he dodged the car, but his son didn't. Oh. But that, again, indicated to me that, that little fellow, I think is safe because of the blood of Christ. And he said this, whosoever therefore shall humble himself. So now listen to this. As this little child. How many times we miss this? Let's not play word games. I'm not. Whosoever shall humble himself. He pointed to this little child. I called. He had no problem coming to me. That's why I set him in the midst. He said, and unless you convert and humble yourself. Like this little child. Right here. Right here. That's what I'm talking about. The faith of this little child. I called. He came. He's in the midst. He has the preeminence. It's going to get deeper than that. Just keep watching this. We gloss over this. We don't give it the attention it deserves. As this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Does that answer your question that you asked? You asked who is the greatest? Here it is right here. Here he is, right here. You know, the only time the Lord really rebuked his disciples is when the parents brought the children. And they tried to forbid them, and the Lord rebuked them, said, forbid them not. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Don't do that. You know, I can remember as a child those adults in the meeting that were kind to me. And I can remember as a child those in the meeting who were not. Old children remember. They remember. When our boys got ready to be married, and even to this day, they will tell you, I had a one-sentence counseling session with them. Listen to me. One-sentence counseling. You ready to get married? Okay. Very fine. Very good. Here's what I've got for you. One sentence is what I want you to do. I want you to treat your bride-to-be as you've watched me treat your mother. That's all I have to say. It's not, you can't make anything up at this time. If you haven't done your homework, they've seen you. You can't fool them. They've seen you up close and personal. They've seen the best and the worst at the worst times. The way you've seen me treat your mother, that's how you treat your wife and the mother, future mother of your children. Sadly, not too many men can say that. And that's the problem. That's the problem. This little child responded immediately to the Lord. He set him in the midst and he challenged them. The answer to your question is right here. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child is the same as the greatest. So you can all be great in the kingdom of heaven. If you act like this child, if you behave and respond like this child, what's your problem? Again, remember, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Heaven help those who are aborting these babies. You know, now it's so bad There's a mayor, Mayor Ferndale. He's now the chief executive officer, taking L. Brooks Patterson's place in Oakland County. He's the same guy. He's married to a man, but he's the same guy that, oh, and by the way, there's going to be a lot of Christians, too, at the judgment seat of Christ that's going to lose their reward. I'm telling you now, I believe this so firmly, that we're so close now that it's no time to drop the ball, especially concerning these major moral issues of life. There's no time to drop the ball. Here they're telling us and they're telling our children that here is a woman. Here's a woman with breasts, vagina, menstrual cycle. She has two X's, chromosomes, and yet she's a man. We had in our Bible study a few weeks ago, one of our Christian ladies, she was there with her grandson, keeping him for a couple weeks in the summer. And I was talking about this type of thing, and we're signing a petition now to overturn what the governor has just done, because she vetoed a bill that would stop the NEA, the National Education Association, from teaching this starting this semester in the public schools. And, of course, everybody at the chapel signed it. But here's a guy. He had, as mayor of Ferndale, he called for children starting in the first grade to the fifth grade to be in the public library in Ferndale, because he was hosting a drag queen alternative. This was the guest of honor. He was hosting this. Now, that didn't bother me so much. What bothered me, you should have seen the parents that brought their children. And I guarantee you, if you would have asked, say, hold your hand up if you are a professing Christian, I guarantee you 3/4 of the hands would have went up. That's what bothers me. What bothers me, we're coming down to the time now when you have to put up or shut up in who you vote for. You see, anything that crosses the moral lines, Lord has spoken to. His word speaks to all issues concerning life and godliness. That means life and morality. And when God made them male and female, there's no reservations, hesitation, or compromise on this. Period. You are male or you are female. You don't compromise any place in between that. And if you do, then I would question whether or not you're a Christian, because you're calling God a liar when he said he made them male and female. But right now, and they're sneaking this under the rug, they don't want you to know this, what they're doing. But I just keep abreast with these items because I have to. And that's why we're hearing from so many people all over the Tri-County area. Say, why don't we hear this on Sunday mornings? Why don't we know about this? We only get our information from you. I'm embarrassed. Shouldn't be that way. I remember the time the church was on the cutting edge of these issues. She had a little grandson there at the Bible study. She said, wait a minute. She said, my grandson, he was going to school, and he was out for the summer earlier this summer. He said, the teacher, he came home and asked his grandmother, am I a boy or a girl? He asked his grandmother. He said, am I a boy or a girl? Friends, these things are real. They're happening right now. And the church basically is mute. This one is not, but I'm saying most of the churches, the assemblies, they're mute on these issues. They don't even speak to them. And yet the children are exposed to this. And they're telling our kids, don't affirm, the drag queen in Ferndale with the ex-mayor said to the kids, don't affirm your sexuality until you hear all sides of the story, because you might be a boy trapped in a girl's body or vice versa. So don't affirm who you are and you just might turn out to be a drag queen. Can you imagine that? Well, the Lord said there would come a day when they would call evil good and good evil. And our children are exposed to it. If we don't have our children, and I know most of you do, all of you do, have your children fortified in the Word of God so that when they hear the devil in these people speaking, they will not be swayed one bit. That's important.
Lord said, whosoever receives such a little one in my name.
That's how close the Lord is to these children. So you guys that are working with children, keep it up. Praise God for you. You're high on my prayer list now. It's so important. So important. Because you may be the only father figure that they have. You know, I was saying, if I ever had an audience with the mayor, I would certainly, because we had, before he became mayor, we had one of the largest meetings to push him over the top in our gymnasium. It was packed out. Wouldn't do it again. Because it wasn't long after that, he came out for the LGBT community, had the chief. You see, we used to arrest people that were in the LGBT community. We'd catch them out to Ruich Park, same-sex in the cars, out in the park. We would arrest them. Now, one might be your partner. Yeah, one might be your partner. You might be driving along and your partner put his hand on your leg to see how you feel today. Yeah, and nothing you can do about that. You see, that's where we've come. We used to arrest these kind of people. Palmer Park, Ruich Park. If you had time and didn't have anything else to do, just go out there and grab some of them sissies. Yeah, well, today, that's all changed. Just in a few years. See, saints, I'm telling you, what did the Lord say? And it's the only time he said it, Luke 17. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And what highlighted the days of Noah? One word, violence. Then he said, and it's the only time he put those two together, Luke 17. Then he said, as it was in the days of Lot. What highlighted the days of Lot? Sodomy. And this is the only time both violence and sodomy are running concurrently since then. Only time. Worldwide violence, worldwide sodomy, and especially in this country. We're almost there, saints. I tell you. It's like the kite that's out of sight. How you know it's up there? I can feel the tug. You can feel the tug. You can feel the tug. So when you receive one of these little ones, when you're dealing with one of these little ones, when you're caring for one of these little ones, in my name, you're receiving me. You're just that close. Never said that about adults, but he said that about little ones. Then he said this, and these are the only people he said it about. And whoso shall offend one of these little ones, get this, who believe in me. Still a little child here now. Don't play this down. You can't get away with it in this text. He's saying, and he ought to know, whoso received one of these, just like this little child, see? A little child, not a child, little child, toddler. Whosoever shall offend one of these little child who believe in me, get that? He's got a testimony. He may not be able to express it, but he came to me, he humbled himself, and he believes in me, right here, verse 6. If you offend one of them, how do you offend one of them? By telling him that you may be a boy trapped in a girl's body or vice versa. You may not be a boy or a girl. You can't offend a child any worse than this. You can't. You tell me how. Having a child question his sexuality, and you're doing it in a school setting where he should be learning just the opposite of that. I remember when I started school in 1945, we opened every day in prayer, either the principal or the principal's designee, every day in prayer. And guess what? There was no violence. There was no need for the police because there was a fear of God. Somebody said, are you trying to scare me into heaven? Thank God, you get the message. Because the fear of the Lord, listen, is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, if I could scare you in, that's what I'm about. Exactly right. Every day we had prayer. Well, 1962, they put prayer out. 1963, they put Bible reading out. And ever since then, academics in the public school have gone down, down, down. And violence has come in. Condoms have come in, and the Bible has gone out. And then they wonder why they have to put police officers, security guards in school. No prayer, no Bible. Well, then you're going to have what you have. And pregnancies,
and everything else that's lewd and illegal, drugs have come in. It would be better for him that a millstone were tied about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That's powerful. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must be needs that offenses come. Now this is the same dealing with these children. Watch this. Woe to the man by whom the offense come. To those who promote this, for those who teach this, and especially to children. Wherefore, if your hand offend thee, if you're saying that you, every time you look around, you've got to take this or take that, or your foot just takes you into these casinos or into these brothels, it would be better to cut them off, literally, physically, cast them from thee. It'd be better for thee to enter into life halt, lame, and to have two hands, 2 feet, to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, you're such a pedophile and perpetrator of that kind of wickedness. If that's your problem, pluck the eye out so you can't see a child again. This same context. Pluck it out. Cast it from thee. It'd be better for thee to enter into life with one eye than to have two eyes to cast into hell fire. This is how strongly he feels about children and their relationship to him and he with them. Take heed that you despise not one of these, here it is again, little ones. For I say that in heaven their angels, and that's literal, their angels. Now you say we have a guardian angel. Well, no, we have something better than a guardian angel. We have the Lord himself, period. And we see that in Psalms 23. But they, their angels, never said that about us, their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, I want you to see this, and as we conclude, verse 12, and I want you to notice the context of it. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? No, he wouldn't. You wouldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Here's why. If you've got 99 sheep here, one goes astray, you're in the wilderness now. When you come back, guess what? You won't have 99. You're not able to do that. This is the picture. The Lord has gone away, and the Holy Spirit is here. He's keeping us while he is still bringing others into the fold. This relates only to him. No man can do this. You're going to have 100 sheep in the wilderness, one go astray, and you're not going to do it. Nobody can do it. What's going to happen to the 99 while you're gone? You know what's going to happen. That's why I said, if so be he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiced more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. We all have gone astray. He's talking about those who are saved. They're not only saved, but they're safe. That's what he's talking about himself. Then he said this, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that, here's that little fellow again, and this is the seventh time he's saying it, that one of these little ones perish. It's not God's will that any perish, period. If a man goes to hell, he goes there because he rejects the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think of this. He is the rock of ages. And they reject the rock of ages. That means he is the rock that will meet you in the first century as well as the 21st century. He is the rock that you can depend upon since he's been here and since he's left. He is still present with his gospel and his gospel preachers. You can still lean upon that rock. And then there's somebody that said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll wait till after the rapture and all these things you guys have been preaching and talking about. Then I'll get saved.
Well, the Lord has a message for you, Buster. He says, no, you won't. He'll make sure you won't. He'll make sure that you believe a lie, that you perish for that kind of thinking. That's why he says the day is the day. Now is the accepted time. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. Why? Because you don't know what a day will bring forth. But he says, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. Oh, I trust that we'll pay more attention to these little ones. Please, pay more attention to these little ones, because they have a habit. They have a habit of growing up being big ones. as I said before, you know, offending these little ones, yeah, it was very difficult for my oldest brother when he left us. I mean, when he left the home. He went to the Marines and then he went to the Army and he came back a Muslim. And the chief reason why, we had a wicked stepfather. I mean a wicked stepfather. And yet, my brother Dan and I were talking about this. He was like a gentleman that was here some time ago. He could pray heaven down. And when he went home, he could bring hell up. And you knew it. And it made my brother so confused. And he would say to me, that man was the Sunday school superintendent. That man, they trusted he was the treasurer. And look how he treated us. He said, how can I believe something like that? And look, how do you answer something like that? And I was offended. He offended me. He hurt me. I mean, if there was such a law in those days of child abuse, he would be under the jail. He used telephone wire to beat us with. And I mean beat us. Telephone. He would leave webs on our backs. And yet he'd go to Sunday school. He'd go to church. They'd call. They didn't know any of this. He hit me so hard one day in my eye with that cord, blood shot up to the ceiling. And yet, I still said, now this is not Christianity. I could see through it. I had discernment because I had trusted the Lord, and I don't think my oldest brother had. So I knew. I said, this can't be right. This isn't what the Lord Jesus is all about. Towards little ones. So I'm speaking from experience. You can offend little ones. They believe you. They trust you. And they need you. And I said, if I would say something to the mayor, I'd say, Mayor, if you would put the same emphasis in the neighborhoods by building trade schools, you got one focus hope. Put 12 focus hopes on the east side, 12 focus hopes on the west side. Your multimillionaire friends, they'll chip in like nothing because they'll see the results. If you give these kids something to aim at, to hope for, and give them father faith, you can't have 80% of out-of-wedlock kids born in Detroit. 80% of them born are out-of-wedlock. I said, you've got to realize it starts with the moral issue, and the moral issues are settled in the home. If you'd give them something to hope for, to look forward to, they're in these gangs, they're into drugs, because they have no hope, and they don't fear dying. This Epstein fellow, this multimillionaire, he didn't fear dying. Young people don't fear dying. Even when I was on the police department, you stop some of these kids, kill me, hey, kill me. You got lead, let's see you use it. They ain't mind dying. You know what they're afraid of? They didn't fear death. They fear life. They can't face life. That's why so many of them are dying. And I would say to the mayor, Mr. Mayor, as soon as I get a chance, Mr. Mayor, if you're really serious about turning this thing around, it starts in the home. And since there are no homes, there's houses where these kids are coming out of. They're not finishing school. Just like in Baltimore, Maryland, Elijah Cummings District. Obama gave him, 3 years ago, gave him $1.7 billion. That was for just his district in Baltimore. Just his district. And since then, three mayors have resigned because of corruption. And not one child of the 13 high schools graduated efficient in math and English. And nobody is asking for accountability.
Just get more money, more. They can't even spell more. More, M-O. More money, more money, more money.
Saints, we're just about at the end of our test of capitalism and democracy. We're just about headed for full-blown socialism, which is first cousin to communism. It's about time we prepare for it. I'm just telling you. If I had President Trump in the room, I would say, Mr. President, I've got your back, I got your front, I got your side, because the alternative is 10 times worse. But remember this. My grandfather used to say to me, Ken, don't answer a fool in his folly. That's right out of the Bible, too. Don't answer a fool in his folly. He went on to add, he said, because people listening won't know which one is the fool. Don't think you have to tweet every time somebody says something. Let them say what they want to say. I'm your elder. I'm older. And I'm telling you, this is the mind of the Lord for your counsel, sir. You don't have to answer a fool in his folly. Father, we give thanks for yourself. We give thanks for your son. And we give thanks for the opportunity to be used of you to speak truth to your people, to strengthen them, to edify, that they might be edified in these last closing days of history and grace. Thank you for Curtis Road. Thank you for 124 years that you have allowed this assembly to continue in this community. Continue to make it a light in a dark place, even until you shall come or we shall go. In Christ's name, amen.